Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast focusing on the X-Files TV series, which ran from 1993 to the year 2002, spanning 9 seasons, 202 episodes, 2 feature films, a spinoff series, and a now-aired 2016 reboot miniseries. Before I intro my co-host and myself, allow me to set things up. First, this show will, in fact, contain spoilers. We cannot talk about these episodes without going into spoiler territory, so listener, be warned. Also, we encourage you guys to follow along. Watch an episode. Listen to us. Watch an episode. Listen to us. I think that that's the best way to do it. Second, there are many ways you can listen and support our show. First, you can hear us on our YouTube channels, which we'll get to in a second, 22shotsofmoodsandhorror.com, horrorphilia.com. Thanks to Horrorphilia Jason for hooking us up with an iTunes feed, which is the third place where you can hear us on iTunes. So many other awesome ways to find us and contact us, Facebook groups, etc., etc. Please check out all of our other projects as well. I am JP, who is podcasting out of southwestern Pennsylvania. On YouTube, I go as Double Shot J. You can find my YouTube channel like that. And joining me tonight, podcasting out of South Carolina, we have the Horrorphile, Kyle.
What is up, everyone? What is up, JP?
What's going on? We're back. We're back.
We are back, dude. I know. It's been, what has it been, like 3 weeks now that we haven't done one of these, I want to say?
It's actually been longer since we've recorded one, but it's not been that long since I think that they've heard one, because we was like an episode ahead or something. But it's been a while since we've recorded one. Probably a good over a month, or at least.
Yeah, it's we were putting them off for a little bit there just because we had a lot of stuff going on. And
but we went like 12 weeks in a row without missing a day. And then we just, you know, it's we took a little break. We had other projects going on and stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're back, though. I'm glad we're back. It's nice to kind of like we were talking about earlier, to re-delve into the X-Files, you know, especially now that, you know, the new season's coming out, or the new season is out, and I know that JP hasn't watched any of it, obviously, because he hasn't, you know, seen this whole series, but it's really cool to, you know, go back, because for me personally, we're delving into the first season with this podcast right now, and I'm watching the 10th season, you know, as it's airing, so it's cool to see from the original season to the 10th season how much this whole, you know, show has changed. So it's pretty interesting, pretty fun. So I'm digging it again. So
yeah, it's, you know, really interesting to me to even hear these other people all over the internet, you know, such as you know, Twitter and Facebook, just talking about the new series. And it sounds like so much fun, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have watched it, but I don't want to spoil the show for me, even though it probably will take me absolutely forever to go through all the seasons. But, you know, yeah. I'm at least want to watch the first season before I jump ahead, and I don't know if I ever will, but it's cool. I think it's super neat that everybody's really into it right now, and to see a show that was, you know, started in 1993 still be relevant, and it, with its reboot series and being, you know, I guess successful, it's just really cool, and it makes me think that there's hope for other things out there that I grew up watching, or, you know, that was part of my generation, to kind of get a reboot, or, you know, a little bit more love shine towards it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, and I, like we were talking before, you know, the new season 10, which is only 4 episodes in season 10, which is the new season that just came out. Actually, there's 5.
I think there's 6.
Maybe there's 6. Yeah, there's between like 4 and 6 somewhere in there, but it's actually doing very, very well. It's actually one of the more it's the highest watched TV show ever on Fox, I think is what it said on online from what I saw. Or the highest watched season of a show on Fox ever. I guess because all the hype, and, you know, it's the X-Files, and there was a huge following for the X-Files. And it's really cool, like you were saying, to see that, because I have a strong feeling more than likely they're going to – I think personally they're going to continue the show. I think they're probably going to offer them money to keep continuing with the show, because these new episodes are very, very good. I don't know if some of you guys, I know some of you guys have seen all these episodes of the X-Files are listening, and I'm sure some of you have watched the newer season, but they're actually good. They're actually good episodes, and I had my doubts about them, but, you know, it does give you hope for other TV shows, maybe other reboots if they ever do any. I know me and JP were talking about, I think Dexter's coming out with another reboot, or coming out with a reboot from Dexter.
Or at least it's rumored to be.
It's rumored, but
speaking of which, I think we mentioned it before, but that would have been a hell of a show to podcast each episode about.
Yeah. Yeah, what really I'm actually I got three episodes left. So I'm
of this
really,
whole show?
The whole show. I'm on I got three episodes left in season 8.
Binge.
So I know we don't want to go into Dexter, but we're talking about the X-Files, but I have been binge watching that show, so I will say that. But
I'm proud of you.
But yeah, I mean I'm kinda hoping they come out with a reboot of that as well. So but yeah, man, X-Files, dude, back at it. We're actually going to be talking about season 1, episode 12 today.
Exactly the halfway point through the season, guys.
Halfway point, yeah. So that's I'm glad you mentioned that. So yeah, this episode's called Fire. So like I said, season 1, episode 12. We have done 12 episodes of the show so far. So this is kind of surreal a little bit that we're actually this far ahead. Like just thinking back,
yeah.
You know, with the show, but. But yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into a little bit about the episode here. This episode actually aired December 17th of 1993, and it was directed by Larry Shaw.
Yeah, Larry Shaw, who I don't think he hasn't done any of the episodes yet, has he? I don't believe so.
I don't believe he has either.
So he got his start kind of in the TV era. Early or late 80s with 21 Jump Street going on through his career. A lot of TV. Then he does his X-Files episode. And then he directs, you know, TV movie after TV movie after TV movie all through the 90s. And I mean, like, and then he gets back into some TV shows. And he branches off sort of into the Disney Channel. And then something that we actually has came up before. I don't remember if it came up in the Ash vs. Evil Dead show or this X-Files show. But he directed Cadet Kelly. And I know that something about Cadet Kelly has came up before because we've talked about it. It was a Disney Channel movie starring Lizzie McGuire or whatever the hell her name was. Hillary Duff, I think her name is. Yeah. But yeah, that movie was I actually liked it. It's funny, you know.
So. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And that's like all he did of note that I've ever seen. He's done some Desperate Housewives. I haven't seen that, but I mean, yeah, it's funny that this guy hasn't done anything, but like, as some Disney Channel show that I remember.
I've noticed that like a lot of these directors as well, like some of them do other things, but a lot of them, especially the Ash versus Evil Dead ones mainly, there was like nothing they've done. Like this was their first, and that makes sense for the Ash versus Evil Dead things, and it kind of would make sense for the X-Files as well because we're on season 1 of that. So, but I mean, some of the other directors, there's some directors for the first season of the X-Files that went on to do, you know, bigger and better things, obviously. There's actually, it's kind of funny, do you remember what was the two guys' names that directed a lot of these episodes in the first season that we were talking about before?
Glenn Morgan and James Wong.
They actually have directed and written just about every single episode of the new season,
I've
noticed.
That's cool. So then you can tell. And you know what's even funny about those guys is those are the same two that you said, yeah, I don't think these guys have done.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it slipped through the cracks with me. I mean, I will admit that was my fault. I was looking and I was kind of just guessing they probably didn't. And then these guys have done like – and honestly, even with these episodes from the first season, that it doesn't show them as the director or writer. If you actually look during the opening scenes, it shows them as the executive producers just about in every episode too. So they have had a huge run with the X-Files. And like I was saying before, another notable person as well that had something huge to do with the X-Files was Vince Gilligan, who was the creator of Breaking Bad, which you'll see in some of the later seasons, who obviously Vince Gilligan's gone on to do huge things with Breaking Bad. So that's actually really, really cool that, you know, we'll see his name come up a lot. But
This episode, so it did air December 17th, like Kyle said. So this is technically our big Christmas episode. It would be, I guess technically they would have been, I think the week of Christmas I think it would be the week of Christmas. Anyway, it's the only one that was, you know, aired before Christmas. It's the last one that aired before Christmas. I would have liked to see like a Christmas themed episode. What the hell?
Dropped, yeah,
missed opportunity, dropped ball. What are you thinking?
I think it's I personally think it's a drop in the ball kind of deal, especially with this episode. I think that they could have made this is like the furthest from a Christmas episode you can really get. I think they could have done like a Krampus thing or like
Let me ask you this. Just a little preview for what I'm dealing with in the future. Yeah. Are there Christmas themed episodes?
There is.
That's all I want to know. You will see
those in later. There's actually, and I will say this, there's an episode called How the Ghost Stole Christmas. I remember that episode specifically, and there's another episode called like something about Christmas Carol or something along those lines. But the How the Ghost Stole Christmas, I remember that episode specifically. It's one of the later seasons. It's very, very good. But yeah, there are Christmas themed X-Files, which I think that they probably fixed the mistakes they made in the earlier seasons when they didn't do that. So yeah, there are, just to answer your question. So.
All right. So the viewership on episode 12, which was Fire, actually 11.1 million, which is actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 8 or 9 episodes since we've hit that mark.
What's funny about that is you look at the Ash versus Evil Dead numbers compared to these, and you're like, what the hell? I think it's because this was on Fox.
And
Ash
versus Evil Dead show. That.
Was it on Showtime or Star? No, it's on Stars, and Stars isn't that big of a station. So, but yeah, that's a lot of people watching. So, but yeah, and do we talk about the writer? I guess we didn't get into the writer.
Well, the writer is Chris Carter, who is, I guess, the showrunner or like one of the main guys.
Yeah, he created X-Files. So, and something we'll talk about this later on. So I'm not going to put it up here right at the front. But yeah, Chris Carter wrote this episode. He has written previous episodes. One being the worst episode we've seen so far. Space, I believe.
Yeah, that episode was garbage. That one almost single handedly made me not want to record an X-Files podcast for a little bit because I was just like, oh, there's nothing.
The only thing redeeming about that episode really didn't have anything to redeem itself on. But it was kind of nostalgic with the theme of being like the pyramids of Mars for me, I guess, a little bit, just because I remember when that was a big thing back in the 90s when they found pyramids on Mars. But nothing about that episode probably should have aired. It was just really, really badly written. So hopefully, I guess we'll kind of go over this episode. You guys make your decision whether or not he did a better job with this or not. And, you know, leave us a comment. Let us know. We'll tell you what we think about this episode. You just let us know what you guys think. So, but yeah, you want to go ahead and jump into it, JP?
Oh, yeah. Let's jump into this episode. You know, like we said, we don't really have much to say about Chris Carter.
Yeah, Chris Carter, man. The dude's done – I mean, he has a lot of notable work here. Like I said, he's the creator of The X-Files and the show Millennium. He's actually written and directed a ton of these episodes and even some of the ones in the later seasons. So not a lot to talk about there. But yeah, we'll jump into this episode called Fire. Like we said, this aired on December 17th of 93. This is season 1, episode 12, and it starts out with a mansion almost, or like this big house. This is previous to them showing the opening credits. There's an old man who's like leaving. He's about to get in a car. He's telling his family bye, that he'll see him later, and all of a sudden he. Just his arm gets set on fire and he bursts into flames. Yep. And as he's telling everybody goodbye, you know, he tells his wife goodbye. He's telling his kids goodbye. He actually looks over at one of the caretakers or the guy that's like doing some of the gardening. And he's like, we'll see you later. I think he calls him Bob or something. And you know, he's like, I'll see you later, Bob. And then Bob's like, yeah, see you later. And then Bob kind of gives him this weird look. And after he bursts into flames, Bob kind of is like smirking and smiling. And then it cuts to the credits.
So. That's our cold open for this episode. By the way, this is not a main mythology episode. This is a Monster of the Week episode. I got to say, you know, just commenting on the cold open, which, by the way, I'll keep saying cold open because once I learned that that's what that's called, now I just want to say it every time we talk about the cold open. In the cold open, it actually gets quite hot because we see this guy set on fire. Ooh, pun. But no, seriously, good practical fire effects, obviously. Like, there's some stuntmen that are set on fire, yeah. which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's always cool to see that.
It was actually really cool to see. I mean, like, even though it was kind of a lame opening for me personally, like,
it's really fast. Like, there's not much to it.
It's literally like within like a minute and a half. Like, the whole opening is like a minute and a half. Like, the actual practical seeing the person on fire was actually really cool. I like that. So, and that's really one of the themes, not to kind of dwell on that a lot. That's kind of one of the themes with the X-Files. I like a lot is like in the, you know, a lot of the earlier seasons, there's a lot of practical effects, and I'm just a really big, I love practical effects. So, but yeah, we get to the point where, you know, they show the opening theme, obviously, you know, it shows Mulder and Scully walking back to their car. They're kind of talking, and something kind of like odd is happens where Mulder's car is unlocked, and he knows he locked it, and they get inside the car, him and Scully, and there's a cassette tape, which we're back in 1993. There's a cassette tape sitting on top of his dashboard. And he's like, he looks over at Scully. He's like, I told you my car was locked, and now there's something here that's basically wasn't here before. So they get the cassette tape and play it in the car. And basically the cassette tape says, you know, that it's basically saying something that has nothing to do with the episode, that basically somebody got in a car. There was some C4 in the car. They played a tape and the car exploded. It's kind of like a practical joke is what I kind of got from it.
Actually all right. Like, it was, yeah, as the chick on the tape was telling the story, like, you could see, like, as she revealed more and more details, like, Mulder and Scully were starting to get freaked out, like, oh shit, like, we're gonna be stuck in this car, like, we can't open it up.
Yeah, yeah, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that kind of scared them after that, all that happens, this woman kind of walks up to the side of the car and opens up the door, and it's one of Mulder's old friends and flings, I guess. I don't really know what you would call her. Mm-hmm. One of his old kind of like you know, friends back from whenever he was in school. It's this woman. She's like British, and she's telling him about
– what is her name?
What was her name again? I didn't write down her name.
Name Phoebe or
Phoebe? That was it. Yeah, her name was Phoebe. Yeah, so her name was Phoebe Green, and pretty much she's telling Mulder about a suspect that, you know, starts sending love letters to victims' wives, and then they end up dead. You know, the victims' husbands end up dead after they're sending the wives these love letters. And Mulder's kind of intrigued a little bit, but you could tell kind of like everything. He's more thinking about like, why is she here? And I can't believe she's here more than what she's talking about, because he's kind of, as you'll see throughout this episode, he's kind of enthralled in her. He kind of, I guess, is remembering back of when they were together. And then she starts explaining about how this guy got set on fire. Basically, the old man in the beginning of the episode, she's kind of explaining to him how he kind of just burst into – he had a spontaneous combustion, basically, and he burst into flames. Mm-hmm. And they have no
Which
evidence.
Has always been an interesting concept to me. So yeah. I almost wish that they – you know, not to give away too much that we're about to give away, but yeah. Essentially we find out that – well, you pretty much know that it's not actually spontaneous combustion in the way that –
No.
The myth goes, yeah. Which I think that it might have actually been cooler if it was, if they were really trying to like figure out like, oh shit, like people are bursting in flames. Like why? You know, I've always wanted to see that Tobe Hooper movie, Spontaneous Combustion, which I've never seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It would have been a cool thing. I think with this theme of the show period, or like the show period, they have to have some kind of a bad guy, I guess. And that wouldn't really leave much to being, you know, a monster. It would just be like,
yes.
But I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they have to have somebody to be able to go after, I guess. I don't really know. They probably could have swung it like a bunch of different ways, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, pretty much this guy gets set on fire. They have no evidence of how the body caught on fire, so there's no evidence that, you know, of how it actually, the guy actually went up in flames. He just did, which kind of intrigues Mulder at this point. So they start talking to an arson specialist at the FBI to look at the case. They're like, hey man, how did this, you know, how could this have happened? And the arson specialist has a lot of theories of how it could have happened. He says that there's could be jet fuel that's, you know, being what's used to catch the guy on fire or these people on fire. But he is telling Mulder, he's like, I'm kind of jealous that you have this case because this is a very interesting case.
I like when he says something about like there's some fires that get so hot that
walk.
Now, trying to put him out, like, just makes him more hot. And he's like, well, how's that work? And he's like, because it gets so hot that the oxygen and hydrogen molecules separate, just feeding the fire. And I was like, oh, that is dope.
That has a lot to do. I don't know if you've ever watched any kind of, like, newscast on, like, forest fires, like, when there's, like, those raging forest fires in, like, California and stuff. That's why they don't – a lot of times – I mean, they obviously do – try to put them out with water, but sometimes those fires get so hot that, you know, the water, like, it's the same with, like, a building fire. When, like, there's a fire inside a building like that, it can get so hot in there that water sometimes won't even do anything to it. It literally does nothing because the water will literally just,
like, evaporate on contact. Yeah.
So, kind of crazy, but
yeah.
So at this point, Bob, we kind of go back to the character Bob from the beginning of the episode. He's the caretaker, and we kind of learn at this point that he is kind of behind all this. I mean, you kind of know that off the bat, you know, because the beginning of the episode he's smiling as this guy's up going. So it kind of gives away who the person is immediately, but it doesn't really – I think that's the way they kind of
were. Yeah, it's intended for the audience to know right away what's going on.
And you kind of learn he has what they call pyrokinesis, or like psychokinetic abilities.
Pyrokinetic,
yeah, abilities where obviously, you know, he can burst into flames at any point, or, you know, put fire, you know.
He's essentially carry, but instead of being able to, like, move shit, he can just, like, burst shit into flames. But I think that they do throw on, like, the little, I don't know what the word would be, but basically there's a catch to it where he has to have, like, a flame. He has to have, like, an ignition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could kind of control it, but – and he kind of what? He uses like – oh, how did they explain it actually? Like he has to have a cigarette or something, but he can light the cigarette without the fire though. So
yeah, it's – I don't really – to be honest with you, I can't exactly how they explained it. I didn't write any of that down, but I'll be completely honest with you. All I know I got from this character was that this dude could just like – pretty much put fire on anything. I mean, his hand at the bar, that one scene where he's at the bar with the woman, his hand just goes up in flames. He doesn't have anything, you know,
doesn't he have a cigarette? I don't understand because okay, getting into like the very end of the episode, just really quickly, I know we'll get there eventually, but he says that thing where he's like, I would love to have I'm just dying for a cigarette. Like, he can't do anything without the cigarette or something.
It's
like,
yeah, it's something. It must be something to do with the cigarette. That's the kind of – and this is actually a good point for this, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this because even me as an avid watcher of this show, I think a lot of the earlier episodes, some of the stuff in these episodes were really hard to follow for the viewer. I mean – you know, you got about how many billion people on planet Earth? You know, there's about half of them are dumb as shit. And if you watch this episode, you're going to be like, I mean, I'm dumb.
You got two people on this podcast, and at least half of them are dumb as shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many little.
And it's Kyle.
I'm just telling you, like, there's too many little facts going on in some of these episodes that the viewer is not going to be able to retain.
There's a lot of I've noticed that there's a lot of plot holes. In this first season. And, you know, honestly, like, we're not here to completely break them apart and, like, nitpick them and stuff. But I think, you know, we're reviewing the episode. I think that it's fair that we kind of point out some of the flaws. And as I understand, the show gets better. But, you know, me being, you know, how we set this show up, like, you're the super fan and I'm the one who's just kind of getting into it. And you know, the first 12 episodes was all I had to base the show on. Like, if I wasn't going to go any further, I wouldn't go any further because honestly, like, it's not that good so far. And I know everybody's told me that. Everybody says that it gets better, and I believe them.
It does.
But even you, I think, as a super fan, going back and looking at these episodes in more of a critical way, even you are kind of walking away from this first season of episodes.
Yeah, I've always
and
to
being
be
a little
honest
with you. Like, wow, these aren't really that good.
I've always thought the first season like was always – that's why whenever I would rewatch these on Netflix, I always skipped over the first season because literally the first season has almost nothing to do with the pertaining plot the entire series. Like there's only little things here and there, and the little things that here and there for the underlying plot don't – you can literally start watching The X-Files on season 2 without even watching the first season, and the little plot points for like the rest of the series – have no, like you don't even need to know them. They're really that insignificant. So, I mean, yeah, the first season was pretty bad. But it does pick up. I mean,
good. I mean, even getting ice, which was my favorite episode so far, the Thing episode, like that was worth it alone because I love that episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Okay, so
I do like that. But yeah, let's jump back into it. Yeah, as far as like how he sets on fire or like gets, you know, uses these abilities, I did notice that he does have cigarettes all the time. I think he's just a smoker and he has those because I'm not seeing anything on the wiki. I wanted to look it up about the cigarette being like a key point. I think he's just able to channel these abilities, and it just, the cigarette is kind of one of those things that like kind of, you know, it always has to have fire. So I don't know, but kind of jumping back into it, so we're not dwelling on that too long. And we kind of left off where Bob is kind of, he's acting strange at this point in the episode. There, you kind of get weird vibes from this guy. He's very creepy. There's a driver that drives around the family now that lives in this house. Because after the old man died at the beginning of the episode, his long-term family came to live in this house. And there's a driver. Bob's still taking care of the property grounds. There's a driver that drives this family around. So Bob's acting kind of strange, and he's asking the driver if the driver needs any help, for the family, that took over the old people's house, this house from the beginning of the episode. And the driver's kind of like, no, I don't need anything, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of keeps hinting at, there's something going on with this driver and Bob. Like, there's something, Bob wants this driver gone. So, it kind of skips back to Mulder at this point. Mulder's questioning, so basically it skips back to Bob. Let's kind of jump ahead a little bit here. So Bob goes to this bar. And there's this woman at this bar, and he's sitting at this bar. It's just this random little bar, and he is talking to this woman, and the woman's kind of interested in him, it seems. And he does this little magic trick where he lights his finger on fire so he can light her cigarette. And she's like, oh, wow, let me show my friends. And she turns around and turns back, and Bob's whole arm is on fire. And he's like, you want to light now or something? He says something cheesy. He's like, you want to light now? And then he lights the entire bar on fire, and yeah, the whole entire bar goes up in flames. I don't really know how the whole bar just got went up in flames, to be honest with you. But he lit just the bar area on fire. It took like 2 seconds to get lit on fire. So it kind of skips and shows you Mulder questioning this lady at the bar that was at the bar that was talking to Bob. She's in the hospital now. And she's kind of saying, talking about how he just got set on fire, how his hand went up in flames. And he purposely set this bar on fire. So Mulder's kind of just kind of curious, what could be going on here? Like, what is this deal with this guy getting set on fire? And the lady remembered that he had an English accent. So that was one of the main plot things that gave Mulder to kind of go off of, is that this guy had an English accent. He set this bar on fire. He just went up in flames. His arm went up in flames. So kind of cuts back to Bob's character. He's obviously doing bad things at this point, we know. We're not really sure exactly why, other than the fact that he doesn't want he has something to do with – he doesn't like seeing all these hot women that come into this house with men, which is kind of dumb, don't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things where I was just kind of like
– well, I think it's also he's just a jerk, because we see that with those two kids where he's just trying to get like the kids to smoke. Like, he's a really creepy asshole, really.
And he's like, and he poisons that driver. So that's what I was going to say. He poisons that driver he was, like, becoming friends with. And the driver just can't stop coughing. He actually poisons him with the cough syrup that he gave the guy. He, like, poisoned it for, like, really no reason. And this guy just can't stop coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing. And then he goes – it kind of pans out to where there's a point – it's basically just showing Bob doing dickhead things throughout this
whole – yeah, Bob's just, like, a douchebag, essentially.
Yeah, so Bob goes outside and is talking to these two little kids and tries to get these kids just to randomly smoke for really no reason.
Well, first he's, like, doing some tricks. He, like, has, like, three cigarettes, and he's like, really into his cigarettes. But he has, like, three of them lit up, and he's doing these tricks, and he's like, you want to take one, Billy? And he's like, no, I'm good. And he's like, it'll make you feel like a man, Billy, or it'll turn you into a man, Billy. It's fucking creepy, man. Creepy-ass dude.
really after that, after that scene, smoking scene where he's trying to get the kids to smoke, the mom comes out and she's like, "Hey Bob," she doesn't see him doing any of this. She's like, "Hey Bob, can you drive us to this dinner party we had tonight? You know, our driver's really sick and he can't go out." Bob's like, "Yeah, I'll do it for you. I'll drive you." And he drives them to this really nice hotel, that has, you know, Mulder and Scully are actually there, and Mulder's with this Phoebe character kind of like in dancing around, kissing on her and weird shit like that for really no apparent reason. And I just found the whole love romance thing between Phoebe and Mulder.
We'll get into that. Let's finish giving the breaking down the episode.
Yeah, so we're almost done here. We're close to the end of the episode. They go to the hotel. Bob ends up setting the 14th floor on fire of the hotel where these kids are. The kids are up there on the floor, on the 14th floor. He sets the 14th floor on fire. Mulder runs up to try to save them. Mulder passes out from smoke inhalation, and Bob takes the kids down to the bottom of the hotel and becomes like the hero because he saved these kids. And he obviously did it on purpose to get attention. And Scully's telling Mulder this whole time that she has very huge doubts on this Bob guy. She's like, "This guy's very odd. He's very out of the norm. I think there's something up with them." You know, Bob obviously saved the kids. Everybody thinks he's this great guy at this point. So Scully kind of does some digging at this point. She's wanting to find out who's doing this. She's very concerned. She does a lot of digging, and she finds out that Bob, you know, she has somebody draw up a composite sketch, which is the woman that was at the bar. She wants a composite sketch of who she saw at the bar, and has the FBI fax it to her, and it's obviously a spitting image of Bob. It looks exactly like his ass. So pretty much at this point, Mulder and Scully know that it's Bob. Bob's character is the one that's causing all this crazy havoc. You know, Mulder and Scully go to the house where, you know, in the original or in the first part of the episode where, you know, the old man got set on fire. They go to the house. They're telling them that, you know, the caretaker is the one that's the arsonist. And they're like, "What caretaker?" They're like, "You mean," or they're saying the driver is the one that's the arsonist. And like, "What driver?" And then they find out that it's actually the caretaker. Yeah, it's Bob. And so, pretty much at this point, this is the end of the episode, Bob starts setting the house on fire. They actually find the driver, and he's like burnt to a crisp, which was kind of hilarious. He was burnt to a crisp in the bathroom, and Mulder says something funny. He's like, "Well, there's the driver." So Bob starts setting the house on fire, and the kids are locked in a room. Mulder goes up and saves the kids, and then this is the fucking weirdest part of this whole entire episode, in my opinion. They get everybody outside, and Bob just is like outside, and he just combusts. Like, he just like combusts into a bunch of flames for really no fucking reason. Like, I really don't know what the purpose of that whole scene was. I know they threw rocket fuel in Bob's face, causing him to lose control and kind of, you know, he's outside, he's kind of running around, and it just looks like he's confused, but I really don't understand why he just gets set on fire from the fuel.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just like, because he has this like natural ability to like create flame, like maybe it like, you know, it's like if you ever get, you know, I guess sort of like punched in the stomach or something, and like you tense up. Well, let's say when you tense up, you can create fire. Like, it's something like that, you know, where he's just like just a shock kind of makes him, you know, create fire. I don't know. I'm just trying to explain nonsense.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time they kind of found out that Bob was like using this rocket fuel to pretty much set everything on fire. And it's really just kind of odd because I was just assuming that he was using his fire ability. I didn't really see what the purpose. If you can create fire, do you really need rocket fuel that much? I mean, I feel like you can just pretty much set anything you want on fire. I guess it's an easier way to set things on fire.
Yeah.
But
anyway, they pretty much, you know, they solve the case. Bob is locked up in a medical facility as he awaits trial. His body is healing at an alarming rate. And in the episode's final scene, we see a nurse talking to him, and his face all like charred up and actually quite gross. Like that I was a little, you know, I looked at the TV and I was like, all right. If I was walking past the TV as a kid, that would have scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, it was good practical effects. Like, he looked very good. Like, for
yeah, he looked like somebody. Like, he looked like Freddy Krueger and shit.
Yeah, it was probably pretty crazy, but yeah, he was. What did he say at the end of the episode? He was like, "I want a cigarette or something."
I'm just dying for a cigarette, nurse, or something shit like that. Yeah. Okay, so a few things in this episode that I think are of note. We see an introduction to Phoebe, who is like a past love interest of Mulder, and you know, when I first seen her, I was like, "Oh, she's gonna be like a reoccurring character." And I was actually reading on the wiki that that was the original intention, but then they quickly decided to never bring her back ever again. And she was just there to kind of give a little bit of a development to Mulder, his past sort of history.
I kind of thought she was a really, really unnecessary character.
And I think that is sort of the overall opinion of fans in general, is that she's just like, we are like, I guess it's to kind of make like, because Scully kind of looks maybe a little jealous or like, or at least just a little concerned. And I think people are like, we already know this. Like, we don't necessarily need to see it. And especially from this douchebag chick who doesn't even seem cool.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it just didn't really. Wasn't it funny how like she kept telling Scully bye? And she was like, well, bye. And like, yeah. Scully was just, it's like she was put there to make, like, put tension between Scully and her, like, because of Mulder. That's just what it kind of put off to me. But I didn't like her character at all. Yeah. She kind of was annoying.
I mean, maybe if she came back all the time, like, she, as like a character that you're not supposed to like, a character that comes in and just kind of ruins things between Mulder and Scully. If she would do that throughout the series, like, I guess she would have a point. But the very idea that she's only in this episode and then we never see her again,
yeah,
it's kind of dumb. People would horror fans would recognize her from Leviathan, which she was in 2 years prior to the making of the 12th episode of season one of the X-Files. So Leviathan, which is a pretty cool horror film, like kind of like an Alien ripoff. But anyway, yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, there's some cool moments to this episode. Like, I thought that the smoking scene with the kids was kind of funny. And there's a scene where Scully is kind of profiling the killer, and I thought that that was kind of cool. And then there's a few, like, fiery scenes that are cool. But besides that, I didn't really care for this episode overly that much. And we'll get into that more in tiers, but I do have a few little factual things here to point out. Chris Carter actually says that Fire is a very popular episode, and he's just happy the way that it turned out.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says this is a really popular episode?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to believe.
Yep, he did.
Maybe he wrote it?
yeah. Other people have said that this Phoebe is an annoying character, and that, you know, other people have said that this episode feels contrived and unnecessary. The AV Club said that, actually, which is pretty much spot on. Other people said it's great, but I think the contrived and unnecessary one feels right to me. Yeah. One of the other cool little tidbits I found about this episode was that actually this episode, the house, the Vancouver mansion, had previously been used in the Jersey Devil episode.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the exterior. So I didn't notice that, but that's pretty interesting. Also, Mulder, David Duchovny, is that his name?
Yep.
You think I would learn this by now. He actually is the only person that got injured on this episode, and he actually burnt his hand, which actually has left a permanent scar, which is still there to this day.
I would actually, like, if I was him, I would, like, be stoked to have, like some kind of injury from, like, the X-Files. Just, like something like a scar or something, just to kind of remind me that I was on that show. I don't know. It's pretty cool. I don't know. It sucks that he got hurt, but, like certain things like that, with especially with me, like, if I get, like, a scar, I can always remember, like, how I got it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. He could always look at it and be like, oh, man, that was from the episode Fire from season one. That's freaking awesome. I don't know. I'm weird like that, but.
Yeah,
it's funny. I don't know if you noticed this in the scene where at the end where Bob and Mulder are in the hallway, and you know, Bob obviously has the house go up in flames. It shows Mulder like jumping, and it's clearly like plain as day that it's a different person that's jumping. It's not David.
Like a stuntman.
Yeah, it's like the face. Like, it shows you like full on face, and it's it looks nothing like David Duchovny. It's fucking hilarious. I don't know. I just thought you, I don't know if you
noticed. I didn't notice it, but I got to be honest.
It's a guy with a David Duchovny wig on.
Yeah, this episode did not demand my full attention. I'll tell you that right now. It was our first episode back, and I wasn't actually even sure we was doing this one. Normally, I try to sneak it in at work, on break or something, which is honestly when I can most pay attention to these episodes, just because, that's kind of my thing. Like, just, at break, I'll just watch something, and I really look forward to it. But, I didn't know for sure if we was recording tonight, and you actually told me, yeah, so I kind of hurried up and hopped on and watched this one on Netflix. And, like you said, and I said, it's not the best episode in the world, so maybe in a more important or exciting episode, I probably would have noticed that, but not this one.
It was one of those things where I actually threw it on this morning myself, and I hadn't watched this episode. I don't even remember this episode, to be honest with you. I haven't seen any of these episodes in forever, the first season, but it was just funny because whenever I was watching that scene, I just saw clear. It was clear as day, a guy with literally a bowl cut fucking wig on. That was definitely a wig. It showed he jumped, and he looked almost right at the camera. And I was like, yeah, it's not David Duchovny at all. That's so cheesy, but I don't know. You can't. I guess the budget for these shows is so small. David Duchovny probably doesn't get paid enough to even do stunts. So,
well, it's actually, if he's part of SAG or any type of acting union, you're technically not even allowed to do stunts, or you'll get in trouble with your union and stuff. There's so many rules to that stuff. But anyway, moving back into the trivia, we only have a little bit more here, courtesy of IMDb. One thing here is that the arsonist's target, Lord Malcolm Mardson, is actually named after the show's hairstylist, which it's so I don't care. And then we have one other cool little tidbit here. The actor Mark Shepard, who played Bob, the pyrotechnic psychopath, later went on to play a similar character named Crowley, the King of Hell, in the series Supernatural. Pretty cool.
Interesting. Cool.
And besides that, I would probably say that this episode really, that's pretty much all for the I did mention the character of Phoebe Green was considered for a reoccurring role, and they ended up being her only performance. Here's actually a quote from Chris Carter. He said, "I thought it was interesting to show a little bit more of Mulder's history by bringing back an old girlfriend. I've always wanted to do a Scotland Yard detective who was a woman. I also thought it was an interesting chance to use Amanda Pays and make a villainess of her." So yeah.
Interesting. You talk about the woman, are they talking about the woman that that Mulder had the love interest with?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think
so. Their original idea was to keep her coming back, reoccurring character, but I think most fans would be happy that she didn't.
Yeah, I felt like the whole love interest thing between her and Mulder in this episode was huge filler, man. It was just they needed something more to the episodes. They're let's throw this character in there. Let's make her, be some old fling of Mulder's. It really had no significance. That I obviously see at this point now, after you talking, you telling us about it, that there was an underlying meaning to her character being there, but it still wouldn't have been. It was just dumb. Her character was just pointless. So
yeah, and are you ready to get into tears?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do tears, man. You want to start? Right.
I'll go first. All right. I thought that there was a handful of cool things in this episode, but overall, I am surprised to read, because I was kind of poking around online while we was doing this, and it does seem like people generally like this episode. I obviously do not think it's the worst. That goes to space. I don't even think it's in the top three worst, but it's definitely close to it after that. And I wouldn't necessarily say that this episode is bad. It's just not that entertaining. It's not that good. I don't know. I just wasn't really that into it. It's just one of those episodes where you're just kind of watching it, and you're kind of just waiting for it to either end or do something that you're not expecting. And it doesn't end for a long time. And it does everything you're expecting. So yeah, This one, not super fun. I find it funny that we don't even really like this episode, yet we talked about it for 45 minutes. So
yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so this one I'm going to go ahead and give it a low tier rating.
Low tier? Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I was kind of thinking, but it's really kind of teeters to a mid. But
it really is probably more of a mid-tier episode, honestly, yeah. If I'm being honest.
Because when I think of low tier, I kind of, you know, I don't associate.
You're right. 100%. You're right. You know what? I'm gonna revoke my statement. Give it a mid tier.
Yeah, and I'm probably gonna give it a mid tier as well. I don't think that it's the worst episode. It is extremely boring of an episode, and I do feel that if the bar scene where he lit the bar on fire, that was my favorite scene of the episode, and I feel like if that scene wasn't in this episode, it would have just been really, really shitty, because that was just a really cool scene to see his hand gets lit on fire. You know, he sets his bar on fire. It was just really cool. But like overall, this episode was, I don't know. So far, Chris Carter has not really impressed me as a writer. He's written Space and this isn't a bad episode. It's not horrible at all. It just was kind of boring. Like, I just was, you know, halfway through the episode, I was like, oh, God, come on, let's just get to the point with this. And it didn't really, there was a lot of plot holes in this episode. Didn't explain much background on Bob and didn't explain a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, overall mid-tier rating, definitely not the worst we've seen. Definitely not the best. But it's, you know, it's not horrible at the end of the day.
Yep. So that pretty much wraps this episode up, guys. We're happy to be back. We'll be, you know, right back in the saddle, recording episodes every chance we get. We're looking forward to, you know, going through the rest of this first season. I know I'm actually excited for it. You know, when we took the little break, I was kind of enjoying it a little bit because, like I said, we went 12 weeks in a row. But now, after watching this episode, even though it wasn't that great, like, I missed this. Like, I actually had fun every Monday recording these with you. So it gave me something. I looked forward to watching an X-Files episode at work as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm pretty excited to be back in the saddle as well. Do you want to plug some stuff, man?
Yeah, you know what? We just wrapped up a episode of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror. This was the Valentine's Day special. So check that out if you haven't. There's some good conversations in there with Moods. I actually have a little rant at the beginning of the episode talking about being charged twice, $67, and not being able to get a refund. So check that out. Check out my YouTube channel. I'm doing big things on there. Started a couple new series. I'm trying to watch 365 movies in a year. And wow. I document my journey, as well as I started a new series. Kyle, I don't know if you had a chance to check it out yet, but it's called The Top Shelf, A Look at Rare, Hard to Find, and Out of Print Horror DVDs.
Funny, because that shows me that you don't watch any of my videos. I actually started a new series on my channel because of that series you started on your channel, actually. You're doing like the out of print, you're doing like three or four. Are you doing five like DVDs per episode, something like that?
Yeah, it's like two to five.
Two to five, yeah. I watched your first episode and I thought that was a really good idea, so I started doing a series on mine where I'm showing off all of my extreme disturbing films in my collection, and I'm doing three films per episode, and I pretty much go in and just talk about each film, let you know a little bit about the film. I don't really review it or anything. I just let you know what the film's about. Mm-hmm. And kind of a little bit of my thoughts on it, but I kind of did that because I saw that what you're doing and just wanted to do something similar to it, so yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool idea.
Those videos are actually doing well on my channel, so I'm gonna continue making them.
Yeah, it's doing well on my channel too. I think I uploaded a couple of days ago. It's got over, you know, close to 100 views.
By the way, I did see you do that video. I just didn't know. I didn't watch it, so I didn't know it was a reference to my video. But my reference was a reference to somebody else's video, which was a reference to somebody else's video. So one guy started doing this and all of a sudden caused the butterfly effect of four other people doing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can spin that type of like series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's cool. I did mine a little bit different, and I came up with my own cool little name for it. I don't know if anybody got this reference, but you know, Double Shot, which is essentially a size of a liquor drink, and it's called The Top Shelf. You get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Did you get it though, or did I have to
explain? I didn't get it until you just told me, but I get what you're going for now.
Yeah, also shelves are what hold DVD. You know, I thought it was clever, and nobody said anything about it. So, anyway, that's gonna be it. You have anything else to plug, man?
Got nothing else, man. Just check out my YouTube channel if you guys aren't subscribed, The Horror File. I upload just, random stuff. I've been kind of busy lately, haven't uploaded a whole lot. I'd actually just uploaded the 22 Shots episode we did of the Howling episodes, or of the Howling movies. I just uploaded that today.
Oh my God, that was such a chore.
Yeah, it was a
chore. That was the worst thing I've ever done.
But other than that, no, I don't have anything. So yeah, you want to take us out, JP?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Be sure to check us out in all the places I said at the beginning of the episode. We will be back next week with another... I don't know what the episode's called. Do you know?
It's called Beyond the Sea.
Beyond the Sea. So this will be the first episode that I have not seen. I'm excited for that because I've seen all these first
episodes. It's written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong, so be excited.
Okay, awesome. So we'll see you guys next time. Later.